Okay, and welcome to episode 10 of the podcast. And today I'm joined by JP. Now, JP is a peak performance coach, he's an international speaker, he's an author, but he's also been a former cyclist, a Thai boxer, triathlete, endurance athlete, and there's so much in between that we're going to talk about today. I'm so excited to have JP involved. But I actually found out about JP probably about 6 to 8 months ago, and I think people was liking and sharing his content. And I think it was actually related down to an accident they actually had. And I think that's how a lot of people have started to, and that's how I came into your world to find out a little bit more about you, started to look at your content. I was like, wow, this guy's producing some real good videos. And I was studying on YouTube and everything like that. So I know there's going to be a lot of good stuff that we can actually help people with today. So first of all, JP, thank you for joining me. But what I want to just announce yourself, tell people a little bit about yourself and also a little bit about the accident as well. So they can kind of come in at the same place where I knew you from.
Awesome, man. Danny, thanks so much for having me, man. So my name's Jean-Pierre de Villiers, but just everyone calls me JP, and I prefer it that way. I'm from Cape Town, South Africa. I grew up with a life that I was always trying to run away from, and I found my first strategy for taking control of my life by working. When I was 10 years old, I started working at washing windows. 11 years old, I was pushing trolleys of cars. 12 years old, I was working in a fruit and veg market. And at 13 years old, I found another strategy, which was cycling. At 19 years old, after cycling for all my teenage years, at 19 years old, I found another strategy, which was clubbing and girls and partying and all that came with it. So at 19 to 23, I went on a purely hedonistic journey, loving life, being totally present. But that leading me to the UK, and at 23 years old, I woke up in Riga, Latvia after DJing the night before and realized, oh man, where is my life heading? Like, I don't have any inspirational or aspirational goals, but I knew that I went to the UK on my own at 20. So if I could figure out how to get life wrong in 3 years on my own, I wanted to learn how to figure out how to get it right. So 23 to 25, I went back to the UK where I was living, and I just got into personal development, man. I got back into fitness, what I always knew growing up. I got a role model, a mentor, a coach. I changed my environment. Most importantly, I changed how I was thinking. And as things happen always, I changed, my environment changed, and then everything changed. And knocking on the door of 26, I realized, man, this stuff I know is powerful. From where I was to where I am now, I want to be able to show other people how they can do this. From a selfish obsession to feeling self-full, I then wanted to go give that fullness and the overflow of my own cup to others. So I relied on what I knew, fitness. I became a fitness coach, and then realized that change and transformation, as you'll know, lies in psychology in front of physiology. So I became a life coach, and I moved from the basement gyms to the boardrooms and meeting rooms and Skype, and Zoom didn't exist then. But then I wrote a book, and then 15 years later, I'm on my fifth book now. I've spoken in 16 countries. I've coached some amazing people. And since getting my life back on track at 25, I've just done a lot of fitness stuff. You mentioned it all. Climbing mountains and ultra marathons and triathlons and all that stuff. And then a year ago, because nothing in life ever stays the same, there's always a part of us that's growing and a part of us that's dying, I had a massive moment of intensity that forced me to grow and reinvent myself. Almost a year to the day was an accident that almost ended my life. I had an accident almost ended my life. I was doing what I always do, cycling for charity or doing something for charity. Don't happen there. And I was cycling across the UK and, oops, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry.
Slight cycling across
the, yeah. Sorry. I was cycling across the UK. I was meant to do 1,000 miles in 10 days. And on the eighth day, I was going downhill at a speed, and I was hit head on by an uninsured, unfit to drive, disqualified driver in a hit and run accident. And I was left flown over the road, off the road, stopped by a tree and a barrier, and left for dead on the side of the road. I spent 2 weeks in intensive care, almost 2 months in hospital. And I'll tell you what, the last year of personal development has been very different to anything I've ever practiced.
Yeah.
I've just stayed in the work, Danny. I've just stayed in the work and, you know, focused on day by day, how can I be better? And that's been the one thing that I've been practicing for the last almost two decades. How can I be better in mind, body, and heart?
It's kind of been like training. It's been like your training for actually after you've had this accident. So now it's like, oh shit. And I've actually said that to a lot of my clients, like the work that we've been putting in and we've been so structured on certain things we're talking about and habits and routines and topics. This is all coming into play now when we're going through this coronavirus stuff. And especially for you, when you had that big accident, you must have been like, God, I'm glad that I put all this training actually into action.
Dude, you know, right? And hopefully you tell your clients that fitness is more than it's more than about fitness. It's like, it's everything in your life. And the doctors told me to my face, they say, you're lucky you're so fit. You're lucky you were so fit and healthy.
Wow.
I was even getting worse in intensive care. I mean, I broke my legs multiple places, my arm, punctured lung, collapsed lung, heart trauma, stomach trauma, perforated bowel. I've got a scar up my stomach. Like, yeah. I believe my fitness and also my Lycra, because all my, you know, it was keeping my body together that kept me alive.
Wow. I mean, what right there when you had that accident, right? And let's say, for example, you went through the intense, you're in intensive care and you had that kind of rebuilding process. There must have been so much doubt in your head. There must have been so much fear and anxiety that you'd ever get back to a place where you could actually even get back on a bike or get back doing to a fitness. Like, what, how did you step out of that? And how did you build that into your day? What did it look like for you?
So great question. Number one, as fluffy as it sounds, it was gratitude. Yeah, yep. I might not get back to where I was, but do I want to get back to where I was or do I want to go in a new direction? What an opportunity at 38 years old to be able to reset my whole life.
Yeah.
Who gets to do that? Well, how many people get to reset their whole life from lying on their back at 38 years old? And I just chose to be grateful for that. I have an opportunity here to reinvent myself. And then secondly, it was nothing in life is guaranteed. So my attitude to have that belief and to focus on my life day by day, like in a body transformation, like in a life transformation, change starts right in front of you. Change just requires you to take your next few steps. But if you make it bigger than it is or bigger than it needs to be, sometimes you don't even take that next step. And we sit in suffering and misery or why me or I'm so out of shape, etc. Or I'm so injured. All I could control, all I could have faith in is like a car driving at night. I could just have faith in the few meters in front of me, what my headlights can see. Anything beyond that is a mystery. Mm-hmm. Anything beyond that is out of my control. I can control what's right in front of me. And 12 months in, that's what I've just been doing, man. Just focus on what's in front of me. But what's interesting when you say doubts, I have moments, right? Because I'm a human, where my expectations go higher than they should be, or my focus goes too far in the future. And then the doubt creeps in.
That's really interesting because I was just thinking then, and it's so easy for it. Most people, I'm imagining, in that situation going through what you went through would have had a totally different perspective. They would have fell into victim mode, like, this is me. I could never change. I'm going to be stuck here. This is me for life now. But because of the work that you've put in, your perspective was, look, I'm not just going to settle for getting back to who I am. I'm going to try and be better. And all I'm going to try and do is I'm going to try and be a little bit better than yesterday. And that's all that is in my control. I love that approach. I think if we can take those lessons every single day, as an individual, that will help us in any aspect of life. But sometimes we get too excited, don't we? Because about this big goal, but it's so far away. We forget to do the work.
Oh man, what you just said there is one of my favorite phrases, do the work. There's always work to do. It doesn't matter whether you are going full steam in your business or you're lying in hospital recovering. It doesn't matter whether you are spiritually enlightened or seeking spiritual enlightenment, or you just want to get out of your own suffering and emotional pain. There's always work to do. When do you ever get to a point in life where there's no work left to do? Never. You're dead. So the work just changes. as we change by experience and by what's going on in our life and through personal development and self-enrichment, the work's always changing. The work, let's say 10 months ago whilst resting in hospital, was just very different to what the work is now. It's very different to what it was 2 years ago. But absolutely, focusing on what I could do. I was honestly, this is not some speaker story to inspire. It's the truth. When I lay in my hospital bed and no one was there, I was taking my broken legs. And as I was rebuilding my strength, I was lifting my foot, 1 foot from the mattress, 1 foot down. And I could do that like 10 times. And then I did the other leg. Then when I started to feel better in my legs and I could start to move my upper body on the railings on the side of the bed, I would say, okay, I'm going to do like kind of like inverted rows, right?
Yeah.
Single arm rows. I would grab the railing with my left arm and I would pull myself up onto my side, let myself back down. And that was my focus. And then it was sitting up, standing up, taking a few steps, getting in a wheelchair, getting out of a wheelchair, climbing the stairs. But very importantly, because we get good at what we practice, I celebrated every little step that I took. And that is crazy key. And if you look at a world that we're both in or that we've both been in, body transformation and fitness, it's so incredibly important to have milestones on the way to your goals, because you've got to be able to celebrate the little wins along the way. Otherwise, you'll get deterred, you'll get confused, you'll get uninspired, things will get in the way. So yeah, just measuring and managing your micro wins all the time is very important.
I'm just imagining then you in the hospital bed and a nurse walking by with you doing inverted rows. I bet you're thinking, what on earth is this guy doing? I love that though, about you just obviously setting yourself a little challenge. I was going to ask you actually, did you set yourself little mental challenges or little games? Because then it's like, look, all right, I did 10 reps on this today. I'm going to try and do 11. And I just by hearing you speak, then I can see that you were setting yourself these little daily goals and eventually trying to hit that milestone, I can imagine, on a weekly or bi-weekly basis.
I have the greatest partner. I know I'm obviously biased, but she is just so incredibly supportive. And I would, when I eventually go out of hospital, I would say things like, I'm going to try and climb down the stairs with one crutch. Or I would get to the bottom of the stairs and say, hey, I did the stairs with no crutches. And, you know, she'll hug me, kiss me, and she'll celebrate with me. I don't even know that she knows that she's doing it. But she's like, well done, baby. That's amazing. So proud of you. And yeah, it's been very useful to me. Because if we compare ourselves to where we think we should be, or where we should have been, or where we could have been, then we end up just putting ourselves in more pain and suffering. Mm. If you focus on, here I am now, here's where I could potentially be at the end of the day. Let me focus on that and then celebrate that when you go to bed. It allows you to wake up the next day with a sense of gratitude, because whatever you go to bed with, this is very important. Whatever you go to bed with is what you wake up with in the morning. Same goes for whoever you go to bed with is who you wake up in the morning, right? Sometimes it's not who you think. But whatever you put into yourself in the morning is generally on an energetic level what you're going to wake up with. So wake up with gratitude, go to bed with appreciation. And then you wake up again with gratitude and you go to bed with appreciation for what you're able to do that day. And sometimes it's less, you do less than others. Sometimes I'll be honest with you, dude, for where I was, the amount of traveling I was doing, stages I was speaking on, you know, even just like, you know, getting in a tailored suit and doing like Uber Lux, whatever, and having meetings in London, like all of that stuff just gone from my life and just sitting every day. Some days are very hard for me, Danny. Some days I have dark days. And for me, what I saved to myself that day, because I can only control what's in my control. So how can I feel good today? Essentially, that's what life is about. Feeling good, healthy, happy. Mm. And I'll just say, you know what? You know what I need to do to feel good today? Remove all pressure and expectation of where I should be. And I'll say to my wife, babe, it's just one of those days. Mm. She'll say, cool, do what you need to do. And I literally will just, I don't know, 5, maybe even 10 days since my accident, I just say, screw the world, I'm going to bed.
Wow.
And I just watch Netflix. But I promise, we spend so much time trying and resisting and creating intensity. When you just say, you know what, today is just one of those days. It is what it is. Like I said, an intensity is what it is. When you surrender in that moment, and you say, you know what, today's not one. It's just not like Bradley Wiggins once in a training ride in a documentary. He turned his bike onto the road. He turned around. He said, nah. It's just one of those days. When you surrender, I promise you, you just feel better immediately.
I've actually found that a lot with, obviously, with everything that's going off right now with a lot of people that I've been working with, especially a lot of business owners, that it's been a lot of mental fatigue. Like everything that's been going off emotionally, physically, work, stress, relationships, that they've kind of been like, and because they maybe not even work as much as what they are, they find it difficult to actually surrender. It seems like an easy thing to do, but when you're used to pushing, when you're used to being a high performer, just actually do nothing. I mean, I find this difficult for myself when a girlfriend's like, look, we can have a chill day today, you're not feeling good. I'm like, oh god, I've got a it's like this little battle that you have going inside of you. So what would be like one thing that you could just say to a guy, look, if you're in this state, just do this will help you? Just, is it just to be remind yourself of what you're grateful for? Is it just to, what would you say to that person?
I would say, give yourself permission. I'll explain.
Yeah.
If you're a high achiever, or you're someone that's, considers yourself a leader, you want to lead up front. But Even leaders need rest. Even warriors need rest. What would happen if you put a warrior or an athlete in the arena 24/7 all the time? They'd burn out. They'd die. They'd lose faith in themselves. They'd get injured, whatever. So we have to remember that it's okay to give ourselves permission to do less. And what you'll find that sometimes doing less is doing more, because you've got your blinders on, go, 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 that you can't see that the solution to your current problem lies over there, not over here. But when you only have this go, go, go attitude, you can't actually see things from a different perspective. You can't solve your current problems with the current level of thinking, because your current level of thinking is kind of the reason why you have the problem. You have to change the thinking. Now, if you can get a coach and a mentor and someone to give you different perspectives, that'll accelerate the speed at which you get to a solution. But you've got to step out of how you're looking at things, how you're thinking about things. And sometimes to be able to do that, you've got to do less or do nothing. Three places where I get my inspiration and where I find answers: doing nothing, walking in nature, or fitness, being in some kind of fitness. Always I get inspired. And it's to give myself permission to be there, to be fully present. I have this saying, if you're going to be here, be here. You can have fitness, and I'm sure you've had clients like I have, you're training them and you know they're not there. You have to be like, dude, hey, lady, hello, hello. Like, you're somewhere else right now. If you're going to be somewhere, be there. And if you're fully present in yourself in fitness, or in yourself in nature, or in yourself in doing absolutely nothing through lying in bed or meditating, you will find that this crazy, crazy bullet train or steam train stops. And then you can actually go, whoa, okay, now I see something differently for the first time. So the short answer is, you got to give yourself permission, man.
Yeah. I love that though, because I mean, I did a Facebook Live for my clients yesterday, and I was speaking like, you have got no clarity when you're going 3,000 miles an hour, exactly like what you said, and you can't think straight. And one of the things that I talk about my clients is doing some form of stillness, or i.e. being present. So either like meditation or yoga, yeah, or journaling or going on a walk. And just by listening to you speak then, they're 2, 3, 4 things that you also do as well. And it's great to hear that, because I think, especially because I work with a lot of guys and they are so go, 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 let's crush it, let's kill it. The biggest thing that I try and do when they come into my world is go, look, you're already crushing it, you're already doing well, but you're going so fast. That cannot carry on. We have got to slow down. We've got to build in these routines that's going to allow you to not just not just do well for the next year, but also do the well for the next 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years. And I think that's so important with guys now, because we always think we have like this ego thing where we're like, you know what, I can work harder than everyone else. But actually, we've got to put some practices in place that allow us to pull back and allow us just to center ourselves as well.
There's a great book. I agree with everything that you're saying. There's a great book that I'm reading right now called Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter by Curtis Jackson.
Okay. Oh, 50 Cent.
50 Cent.
Ah, is it good?
Honestly, not because I'm a fan of 50 Cent or that I was of his music, one of the best personal development books I've ever read.
Really?
Because you'll just be shocked at what kind of guy this is. He doesn't smoke, hardly drinks. He explains his whole life. Really good book. But one thing he says is, he talks about having these little escapes. And he will say, you know, I'm not someone that can take a holiday forever. But what I will do is I will spend a day in a spa or a day on the beach. And that will give me the clarity and the inspiration to have new business ideas. And then I'll grab my computer. He says, when I take a holiday, I have my computer with me. After one day of doing nothing, I then am fired up to get back into my business.
That's so funny. I was literally speaking to a client about this on Monday. And we were saying, like, I had an idea about a year ago when I was on holiday. And it literally came on the first day on the beach. Because it was the first time where and it's always every time that you go on holiday, you chill for an hour, you chill for 2 hours, like, oh, this would be a good idea, especially when you're reading a book or something. So to hear that as well, that's awesome. I'm gonna have to get that book now.
Dude, honestly, you can thank me later. Because you're a busy guy, like the audio and just listen to it. But he shares everything from making decisions in business, having the right people around you, the importance of trusting your intuition, playing the long game, all that. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I've recommended it to a lot of my clients. But I've ran retreats in Thailand for years. And, you know, without trying to make it sound like it's funny, people come back from the retreats and they get divorced, they leave their relationships. They, on a positive note, one person quit their job whilst they were there and start their own business, and 3 years later still has their own business. Why has that been? Not because of me, not because of Thailand. It's because they took a break from being in the arena of their own life. Mm. And they were able to look at their life from a different perspective.
Wow. So it's one of those things as well. It sounds easy to do, but it's just to trying to do it every single day as well. Like even just 10 minutes of you every single morning, just being present with your thoughts or going on a walk, it's just going to give you so much more energy and inspiration. And my girlfriend knows, like, I get up at 5 o'clock. She knows before 7 a.m. like you don't touch me. Because like I have to do my walk with my dog. I have to do my journaling, and I have to do 3 or 4 things that's just solely about me, that allows me to be present, because then I can help a lot of people a lot more. Whereas what I used to do, I used to get quite anxious because I'd get up in the morning, I'd look at my phone, I'd straight away be reacting, I'd be on Facebook, I'm doing emails. And then before I know it, it's 10 o'clock and I'm going, oh, I'm too busy. I can't do exercise today. I can't do that. And everything would get pushed to a back burner. But it was just, and before I knew it, it was like 3 weeks before I've done any exercise. And I've started eating shit. And it's all because I've not had that space. I've not had those routines, like you said, to just be totally clear. Think about who you are. Think about where you want to go. And actually just center yourself, which is so... It's so important, no matter how busy you are, what you're doing, you can always find 15 minutes for yourself, even if it means getting up earlier.
Absolutely. If you can't do that, what kind of life have you really created for yourself if you don't have 15 minutes? That's crazy. Like, you're either putting yourself first or you're putting yourself last. Either you're in control of your life and your business and your relationships, you know, social, professional relationships. Or, you know, your life and your business and your relationships are in control of you, but it's your choice. And it starts by what you choose to do in the first few moments of your day. How we do anything is how we do everything. So, you know, create conditioning inside you that every day when you start your day, that I am most important. Helping me is most important. It's not selfish. It's self-full, like I said before. How can you help others if you can't help yourself? Exactly. How can you influence others and lead others if you can't influence and lead yourself? It's ridiculous. It's hypocritical. Mm. How can you say to people, I want you to lead, you know, live an inspired life. I want you to put yourself first, but you put yourself second. Mm. Unfortunately, in the industry that we're in coaching and advising and mentoring, too many people do that. In the pursuit of being perceived as something or having financial gain, like, the greatest leaders inspire. And for you to inspire others as a leader, you have to be inspiring. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's nothing more inspiring than being non-negotiable about who you are, in my humble opinion.
So obviously you're a peak performance coach. And what I want to talk about here is, what do you feel that either athletes or peak performers have in common? There must be like one or two traits that you've noticed that these people that are performing their best, that they've got, that the average people maybe they strive for, but they're not doing.
So I'm going to say average people, even though some people say, oh, there's nothing wrong with average people. Most of the time it's average people that say that.
Yeah.
But average people, the average person wants to change all these big things in their life. High performers and high performing athletes seek to change their life 1 millimeter at a time.
Wow.
That's it. They're not looking for a magic wand. They're not coming to my events to have magic dust sprayed on them. They're looking for a sustainable way for them to continuously keep improving their life. 1 degree at a time, 1 millimeter at a time, 1 second at a time, because they know that if they can have that tool, then they'll never, ever stop growing and they'll never, ever settle. So I think high performers or successful people in performance in business and performance in sport, they look for those strategies that they themselves can apply to be on an upward, never-ending spiral in their life, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Whereas the average person says, show me how to change my life. And they want it all to change in a day or a week or a year. I think, yeah, high performers live more in the present and see what they can do in the present moment. And the average person, meaning the majority of human beings, are looking for something in the future.
I think as well, what you've said there as well is so important. I mean, have you watched The Last Dance, Michael Jordan thing?
So good, man.
So good, isn't it?
It's so good.
And like, even when I used to work with athletes and stuff, we tracked everything. So we tracked their sleep, their blood sugar, the heart rate, the HRV, we track their performance, we track everything. And that's so important, like what you said there, and I think that resonates. When you want to be a high performer in business or in a sport, you can't track you wouldn't track your numbers every 3 months or every 6 months. You're tracking every day, and you're trying to make those little micro adjustments. Rather than going like that, you're trying to just make those small little adjustments. And you've had this, and I've had this as well. It's so difficult, like you said, and that's resonate with me, because a lot of people want that big change. But then they don't want to do these little, they don't want to do the tracking. They don't want to do this. I'm like, look, this is how we're going to get you to this position, or this is how you're going to perform better. Yeah, but how do I get there quicker? And it's like, no, you've got to do this work. And especially watching The Last Dance and like everything I used to study on, like the basketball players and stuff like that, especially like Kobe Bryant. And you look at it, and they was working harder than everyone else. They was tracking the nutrition. He was watching every game tape back, not just about himself, but about other players, about his team. What could his teammates do better? And he was leading from the front end, but he was tracking everything and every variable.
Just doing the work, doing the work, doing the work, doing the work.
100%. So
it's a constant, never-ending process. There's always work to do. Mm. What's interesting is, you know, we just shared that we both agree on the view that high performers are always looking for that 1%, 1%, and questioning. High performers question, is there another 1% in me? And then they go find the right people, to the point of like Kobe Bryant paying million, you know, or Conor McGregor getting paying millions of pounds or dollars to get the right people around them so they can find that extra 1%. And if you look at The Last Dance, the basketball series on Netflix, did you watch the whole thing? Have you watched
it? Yeah. It's best sports documentary ever.
So you got the high-performing athletes, right? And then you've got the, I think his name was Jerry, the manager, the short, extremely overweight guy, right? He was that guy that got, they've got nothing left, you know, change up the whole theme at the end. And the athletes were like, all of them said, oh, we could have gone one more year. We could, we could have done it again, because they're always chasing that 1%. You're never done.
And you know what I think was so interesting as well, just a side thing here. After 1998, they haven't won anything. I'm not a basketball fan, but from what I've looked at, they've not won anything. So I was like, wow, actually been, they've got rid of Jordan. They've got rid of these players that had such high standards that were winners. They knew how to win. Then they've said, no, we need to get rid of these. These guys are getting old. They put these other people in that maybe had just as much talent, but they didn't have the same work ethic. They didn't have the same standards. And I think it's so important when you look at sport, and sometimes you can always think, oh, that player's passed it, or I think he's done now, let's move him on. And then you see a team like that and go, blooming hell, maybe it was better than we should have kept him on for another 2 years. And yeah, you're 100% right. I think it's just interesting to see that they've not won anything since they've lost a high performer, someone with high standards and a winning mentality.
I think that they were just too good together for too long. It was something truly special, the Chicago Bulls at that time. But to come back to my accident, that's exactly what I'm doing now. My 1% now is very different to what it was 14 months ago, 13 months ago even. But I'm still focused on the 1%.
What's the 1% now?
It's my recovery, my healing, stretching, mobility, trying to get rid of my limp, make sure that my right foot is turning outwards because it's turning inwards because of my body being all messed up. But, you know, it's little goals. Like, I want to turn my foot out by a millimeter, you know, metaphorically speaking.
Yeah.
I want to, you know, move my hip a millimeter. And it's little goals. But you and I both know, and everyone here knows the truth, that if you wrote down a list of 10 things that you should be practicing every day, forget about the future. If you just did those things every day, it would take you to that goal. And then when you get to that goal, create a new list of 10 non-negotiable commandments. And then do those 10, then do those 10. But what's crazy is, you're right, people come inspired and enthused. I want to do this and that and that. And you give them a list of 10 things, and ask them to send you those things every day on WhatsApp once they've done them. 50% of the time, you won't get a reply back from anyone.
It's so frustrating, isn't it, as well? Because you're just like, oh, this is the process that is going to get you the result. I think this is why as well, like, I did a free ebook, and I literally, the ebook said everything about how you're going to get a transformation. It shows you exactly the roadmap to do it. Now, I know full well that people aren't going to do that. They're not going to actually be able to apply it. But if they did, and they did the process, they would get to actually where they want to be. And sometimes we, like, a client might come in or someone might inquire to me, and they're like, look, yeah, but how are we going to get there so quick? And I'm like, look, this is phase one. This is what you've got to do in the process. You do that, like exactly what you said there, and you broke it down really nice. If you do these 10 things and don't worry about the end goal, you'll actually get there anyway. So just focus on the process. And that is that quite hard for you at the minute? You know, because you know where you've been. You know where you've been with the sports, with the challenges that you've done. Do you find that quite hard because you're so far away from where you used to be? The gap's so big.
Yeah, I have to right now do a lot more coaching than I've ever done on myself. Almost every day I have to check myself before I wreck myself. And I'll be honest with you, because I can spend my time comparing myself to who I was or who I could have been in this moment. I mean, my career was just, and then it was just boom, put to a stop. So I work with a therapist as well to just manage my own expectations of myself and put too much pressure on myself, like a pressure cooker, thinking, worrying, am I going to get here? When will I be here? When will I be recovered? Will this affect me long term? And you just speak to someone about it. Or like you said, a great practice, journal, if you can't get a therapist or a coach or a mentor, just releases the pressure.
100%. 100%. I'd like to go back a little bit here as well. You've done some, and maybe going to the future as well, you've done some incredible challenges. So I just want to talk a little bit about some of the challenges and some of those lessons from the challenges that you've done, because I think that'll be quite inspiring to a lot of people, because people always have these big aspirations and goals of, look, I'd love to climb Kilimanjaro. I'd love to do this event. I'd love to do this Ironman event. I'd love to do this cycle like what you've done. But then it never happens. So what have been the biggest challenges that you have done, and what have been the biggest lessons that you have learned from doing these challenges, do you think?
So I've done so many challenges. I mean, what's that thing called? The Three Peaks Challenge in 24 hours. That was pretty challenging, like climbing three of the highest peaks within 24 hours, like not sleeping, basically, and traveling from Scotland to England to Wales. But then I've done things like I've ran four marathons in 34 hours around the Cape Peninsula, big mountain range in Cape Town, South Africa. I've did the cycle challenge. And then I've short, intense challenges. I've stepped in boxing rings multiple times in the UK and in Thailand in stadiums and fought. And for someone that was bullied my whole school career, that's pretty challenging, getting in a boxing ring and facing someone with no shin pads and knowing that you could take an elbow to the face or a knee to the face at any time.
But how did you step into that one, by the way? Because that's a big one. Getting punched in the face, it's all well and good watching UFC. I watch UFC and I've started getting into a bit of kickboxing, but stepping into an arena in front of people, being punched in the face is so intimidating. So what made you do that one, first of all, and how did you cope with that?
Simple answer, or short answer. I've learned in my own life journey that we really aren't afraid of anything except for the things that we've made ourselves afraid of. So when I find myself being afraid of something, I know that at some point in my life, I've created that fear, or it has been created for me. For example, the fear of confrontation. The fear of being isolated, the fear of being humiliated. And all of these things could have come from me being bullied intensively in school, different periods. So I knew in my early 20s that I'm afraid of confrontation. How am I ever going to get the most out of my life if I'm afraid to stand up for myself? I'm not talking about fighting. I'm talking about standing up for what I believe, standing up for my truth, speaking my truth, speaking my views and opinions on the world, standing up for myself in business. I thought boxing is a great metaphor for that. So I just got in the ring. And the first time I ever got hit, let me tell you, dude, Danny, was like literally the first time I got a massive right hook to the head, even with headgear. It was like in a split second, I regressed back to being about 13 years old.
Yeah.
And I had to excuse myself from the ring, said I had to go. I didn't realize what the time was. And I went to the changing rooms in a gym in London and I cried in the cubicle.
Wow.
And it wasn't me, the adult, crying. It was the child crying.
Yeah.
It was the child in me was still afraid. So I did it again and again and again. And like I said, fear is not real. It's created. We created it ourselves. Eventually, as you step into your own fear, step by step by step by step, you reach a point where you no longer are afraid. And it's the same thing for me. I don't know if I was dropped as a baby, but that would explain a lot. And it's the same thing for me with heights. My whole life, I've been afraid of heights. I couldn't stand near the edge of a balcony. I'm not joking. And if someone stood near the edge of a balcony, I would have a fear of them falling and dying. So I had to skydive.
Oh, skydive. Oof.
And I did skydiving and I did it. I loved it so much. 2 months later, I did it again. And when I hit the ground, I went to the office and I said, how can I learn how to skydive on my own? After being afraid of skydiving for 3 decades.
Wow.
But as you go to move towards your fear, like I said before, you do it step by step by step. If you're afraid of speaking, don't go from where you are now to speak in front of 1,000 people. Go to a networking event and speak to 5 people. Then share an inspirational story or a poem to 50 people. And then 50 will become 100, 100 become 200. But with jumping out of the plane, it was a long journey. But I thought, get closer, get closer, get closer. I would jump off rocks, bridge jumping. It was a step-by-step journey until I got to the point in Dubai where at the threshold of being in the plane and out of the plane, as I broke that threshold, that fear disappeared within 1 second. And I knew in that moment, this is very important, it's way beyond skydiving. I knew in that moment, as my feet and arms left the plane, and I fully embraced the unknown, and I fully embraced the uncertainty of what could happen, I knew that, one, my life would never be the same, and two, that I absolutely loved skydiving.
Also, I think there's two big lessons here, but just what I've kind of picked up, that one, it's a step-by-step process. And you know what? It's even for me, like with this podcast, I started a mini podcast for my clients, built up the courage, built up the, like, right, cool, now we're going to do this podcast. It was something I wanted to do for ages, but I was doing Facebook Live stuff, but I kept putting off. So actually it was a step-by-step process about knowing it. That's kind of what I did with the podcast. And the next thing, which I think is super important, is that you talked about repetition. So after you got hit that first time, I think a lot of people may have gone, I'm never doing that again. And that would have been so easy for you to do, just to go, look, that's it, I'm done. I tried it, didn't work. But actually you went back and you kept going back. And that's a skill in itself, just to keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it until it actually forms part of you.
What I would say is, to go back to what I said before, how we do anything is how we do everything. Notice yourself in one area of your life. Are you shying away there? And if you're shying away in that area, I can almost guarantee that you're doing it in another area of your life. So if you're not standing up for yourself in one area, where else in your life are you not standing up for yourself? And therefore, what are you missing out on? What pleasures, what luxuries, what opportunities, and will you, as a result of this, leave your life with regret for the things that you didn't do? Same goes for jumping out of the plane. Yeah, I don't, you know, you can say, oh no, I don't want to do it. I'm afraid of it. But if you don't do what you are afraid of in one area, ask yourself, are there other things that are in my life that I'm not doing because I'm afraid of, and therefore am I missing out on the opportunities, the luxuries, and therefore will I die with regret for the things that I didn't do? I know we don't leave this world with anything. We leave this world, every single one of us leaves with our pockets empty. But we leave with two things, memories of the things that we did do and regrets of the things that we didn't.
And do you remind yourself of that daily? Is that why you keep pushing to do these challenges?
I'm always looking to live a full life. Like one of my coaches, Lisa Nichols, says, the meaning of your life is the dash between your birth date and your death date. And I want the meaning of my life to be a full one. Wow. I don't want to look back and say, what if? That for me is probably my worst fear, missing out on what my life could be. Because I know very well that I don't get a second try at this. I don't get a second chance. Well, you say that, I had my accident. I think this is my second chance. Yeah. And now more than ever, I was cycling last year and all of a sudden I woke up in hospital. I wouldn't even have known that I died. It's not like, oh, I could plan it, or, you know, use the next 3 weeks to do what I wanted to do. I just would have not existed. And that for me was a cruel and beautiful reminder that life is crazy short. Like, you could, Jim Carrey once said in a speech, from watching his father settle for a job that he didn't enjoy and then die at an early age, he said, I learned a lot of things from my father. One of which was that you can fail at doing what you don't like. So you might as well have a shot at doing what you love. And I live by that, man. I'm uncomfortably, to a lot of people around me, I just will never settle.
Yeah. I think that's important.
Yeah, sorry. And therefore I embrace every fear. You think it's important?
Yeah, I think it's so important. I think it's so important to bring to your awareness, like conscious awareness of that. Because sometimes we can float by and forget that we're just going through life and not challenging ourselves, not pushing ourselves, not. And then before you know it, like you say, 5, 10, 15 years gone by and you're like, shit, why haven't I done the things that I said I was going to do? Why have I never got the body that I said I was going to get? Why have I not got the business or the life? And I've kind of held back because of all these pressures, all these stresses. And like, I think that's why it's so important to have, we spoke about this earlier, so we're not going to go into it again, but actually having that space and that practice daily to bring yourself back to here and be present and go, look, what the hell is happening? Let me get back to this place.
I was just going to say that I'm so glad that you've touched on meditation a few times. Mm. Meditation tells you the truth. That's it. It stops you from putting your attention on the outside and keeping yourself from being busy, being busy, being busy. And it forces you to look at the truth of what's really going on inside and what your heart and intuition is telling you. So yeah, I think that's probably been one of the most powerful things in my life. Number one has been who I choose to spend my time with and surround myself with. That has been the most instrumental tool in my life. And two has been sitting with myself and spending time with myself, 100%.
I agree. Environment and stillness. So what final question I want to know. Who has been your biggest inspiration or like role models? It could be anything in business, in sport, in or family. Who is it for you that's like big role models or inspirations?
In my whole life, I'm not going to give time periods. I'm just going to say in my whole life, it has been in terms of business success and business and life strategy, I will say. Strategies for business and life, it's been Tony Robbins. For living your truth and speaking your truth and understanding what that is and why the world is waiting for it, has been Lisa Nichols, one of the teachers from The Secret. And for fitness and pushing the boundaries, it has been David Goggins. Then spiritually, obviously I don't know this person, but it would be Buddha. I'm not religious in any way whatsoever, but I absolutely, I don't know what's going on, man. Sorry, this never happens to me.
Somebody wants.
I'm selling one of my cars. That's why it is. Everyone's trying to get hold of it. So I just absolutely love the Buddhism way of not harming yourself, not harming others, understanding who you really are, going within, meditation, the practices of love and kindness and compassion. And yeah, so I've really learned a lot of that in Buddhism. A lot of that. I mean, I'm off to a Shaolin temple in a few weeks.
Well, first of all, I think if you modeled yourself on those four people, you wouldn't really go that far wrong, would you? If you modeled your behaviors and everything on those four people, you wouldn't go far wrong. I think everyone's had an inspiration from Tony Robbins. Like I said to one of my clients today, he was like, what one book would you get? And I was like, well, if you're going to focus on one person to learn from, Tony Robbins wouldn't be a bad teacher. And so, yeah, finally, then I'm going to ask you one more. What's this about going to a temple?
So I'm always looking for the next level, like the 1%, like high performers do.
Yep.
And I've done the physical stuff. I've done the mental stuff. I've done the emotional stuff. Now I'm moving from emotional to spiritual. And I really want to get around very connected human beings, very informed, very inspired, very enlightened human beings. And there's a guy that I've been following for the last year. It started with me watching his TED talk on hindrances to self-mastery. And it was this crazy, cool, calm, and collected spiritual Buddhist monk and Kung Fu master. And I just started following his work. And then I just thought, hey, just like I shared before, the most instrumental thing in my life has been choosing to get around the right people. And I do it by all costs. I've flown to San Diego to have a meeting with someone. I've flown to South Africa to just spend a day with someone. I get around the right people at all costs, at all risks, at any chance. And I just realized that this guy basically runs a Shaolin temple in Germany. And I emailed them and said, I want to come live there for a while. And yeah, so I'm off to live in a Shaolin temple for 7 days. And for those 7 days, I've been told I have to strictly behave and practice all that the monks do for those 7 days. So yeah, so silence, meditation, Tai Chi, Qigong, Kung Fu practice. Obviously I'm a beginner, but and yeah, just living like a Shaolin monk for 7 days.
Wow, that's going to be a little book in itself. I'm looking forward to actually hearing about your journey after that, or seeing some videos on that, because I think that can be, I think these different experiences can help a hell of a lot of people. And I think because you're getting around and doing all these challenges, being around all these people, the amount of knowledge and information and experience that you've got is going to help people. Because they, like you said, people that are in your world are wanting that 1%. So you need to go and do that yourself. You need to go and lead from the front.
Yes, I can never stop for that reason.
Exactly. I love that. Well, look, thank you for joining me today. It's been an absolute amazing podcast. I know everybody's going to love this. But look, if people want to get in touch with you, where can they, or they want to hear more from you, how can they get hold of you?
Technically, I'm on all social media platforms.
Yep.
Mostly on Instagram and my public Facebook page. And it's just my name, Jean-Pierre de Villiers. In terms of working with me, I have one way in which I do that, and that's an online coaching membership where we do weekly Facebook lives, monthly fitness challenges, and other stuff in a closed Facebook group. And the website for that is bestlifembA.com. So it's a personal development MBA for your best life.
Love it. Well, thank you for joining me, buddy. And yeah, we'll speak soon.
Awesome, bro. Thank you so much for having me, Danny. Take care, and I hope you all enjoy this.
Thank you.